And I'm going to introduce Mission Sunday. It's Mission Sunday, and I'll say a bit more about it after Paul and Tim come up here. They're representing UCM, and they're going to be telling us a little bit about their ministry and their involvement in it. Yeah.
Thank you. So good to be here. Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. My name is Paul. I'm here to tell you about University Christian Ministries. So why do we need missionary workers on our university campuses? Five reasons. Number one, this is a crucial time of life for university students because they're open to learning, they're discovering who they're going to be for the rest of their life, and they're just like practicing their disciplines for the rest of their life. And universities are a bit like the early church in a diverse culture with tons of different traditions and beliefs. So this is a place where faith can really thrive. Number two, protect our youth. Churches invest tons of ministry into our youth before university, but then when they enter university, many are alone and they never find a faith community. So in UCM, we enable youth to continue to deepen their lives in Christ and have an ongoing relationship with the faith community. We're creating Christian leaders who will influence the world on campus and afterwards. Number three, students need to hear the gospel. Romans 10 verse 14 says, how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? So we're going to tell students that they can trust Jesus and that his way of life is better for them. Number four, international student ministry. The world is coming to our universities. About 20% of university students in Canada are international. Most are alone when they arrive, and they are so valuable to our groups. They help us see beyond ourselves. They also bring all their learning back with them to their home countries after university. So it's like they share their experience with Christ at university there. This is like international missions in reverse. Reason number five, we can impact our world. If we put Jesus into universities, then we are putting Jesus into the future of our country's law, government, healthcare, education, business, technology, arts, politics, trades, every pillar of society. We need Christians in every vocation in our country. And we also need Christians on campus, one of the most challenging places to continue to follow the faith. Campus ministry plays a key strategic role and the influence of the church in our world today. I'll tell you a little bit about my story and our organization. I told my testimony here a few weeks ago, but in 2013, when I was 18 years old, I was in a serious car accident, which left me comatose for a month and a half. I had to recover from severe brain damage, so I was particularly unstable and vulnerable when I was recovering. I couldn't walk, I could barely talk, my memory was severely damaged. I was unable to process or control any of my emotions or impulses. The list, like, I have a 50-page doctor's diagnosis document. And at the time, my dad was leading the UCM group at the University of the Fraser Valley. So he took me weekly to the UCM group there. That was my only real community throughout the week. That group was so important for me because even in this space when I could barely even hold a conversation and I hated myself so much, they listened to me, they valued me, respected me, included me, loved me, and treated me as an equal, even when I felt so ashamed at what I'd become. And honestly, that was 2015, and I've been involved in campus ministry in different ways ever since then. I first came to Vancouver to work with UCM at UBC in 2021, and part of how I see my role there is to treat others the same way that I was treated at UFV. UCM began at UBC and SFU in 1980, and we're at eight different university campuses today. My friends in UCM were so important for my recovery, and I can tell you many other similar stories of people that I've heard who have also experienced their healing in UCM. Jesus saved my life, and he healed me. So I work with UCM today because I know and believe that the healing that God can give to students far exceeds the healing that he can give to me. I'll pass it off to Tim.
Thanks. So my name is Tim. I also work with UCM with Paul. So during my time with UCM, and also from hearing from a lot of stories from people from this church, that God really brings transformation and healing to students. He's done it through UCM in many different ways from many different testimonies. But today I just want to highlight one story that really means a lot to me, because it's about my friend Tim Yang. There's probably also a few people who might know him already. But I met Tim during my first year at UBC, when we were placed in the same core with UCM. So core is kind of what UCM calls our small groups. We believe that our small groups are kind of the core of our ministry and community, where life-on-life discipleship can happen with people. So Tim grew up with high expectations placed on him by his parents, which influenced him to pursue a degree in science in order to later become a doctor. Although he came into university as a high-achieving student, university was kind of a challenge for him. After a year of heavy assignments and low grades coming in, tension grew between him and his parents. And on top of that, Tim was struggling with mental illness, having times where he was stuck in deep depression, other times when he was struggling to contain his anger and would lash out at people like his parents. This was later diagnosed as bipolar disorder for himself. But throughout all of this, on top of like all the mental health issues, all the troubles with school, he was also struggling with his faith in Jesus and why would God really allow him to be going through all this, to suffer through this. For Tim, at this point when I met him, he was really reaching like rock bottom, the bottom of the pit. But thankfully, Tim wasn't alone. He wasn't going through these struggles by himself. Tim had the support of his core, especially from the core leaders who surrounded him with prayer and ears to listen to what he was going through. Tim was able to receive meaningful discipleship from one of our core leaders, Clayton, who he met with Tim regularly and came alongside him as he was wrestling to believe that God was truly good. Through support from the core, Tim was able to reach out and reconcile his relationship with his parents and have open and honest communication about the weight of the expectations he felt was placed on his life. Tim was also able to receive professional help for his mental illness through like support from his leaders, kind of getting him connected in that. Later switched university programs, which actually met his own interests and what he wanted to pursue for his life. Tim also was able to rededicate his life to Christ and continues to put his hope and trust in Jesus. He later went on to lead his own core, being able to give the same support he had received to other students struggling with their own faith or university experience. It was all because of the love and kindness Tim received from his fellow core members and core leaders that he was able to see transformation in his own life. So Tim's story means a lot to me because as a member of that same core in that first year, I got to see firsthand the work God does through UCM in the lives of students. When I was having my own struggles with my own faith, I received the same love and support from a community that cared deeply about me and my walk with Jesus. I joined staff with UCM in order to give the same experience of hospitality, love, and discipleship that I received to others in order that they may know God and follow him in the calling he has placed on their lives. God continues to transform lives of students through UCM, leading them to faith and a deepened relationship with Jesus. So, yeah, Paul and I just want to thank you guys, Redemption Church, for all of your prayer, encouragement, and support over the years for UCM. It is because of support like this from this church that we can be on campus at UBC, being lights for Jesus and discipling the next generation of students. Our commitment to you, Redemption Church, is to work diligently to reach students at UBC for the sake of the gospel, to share with you all that God is accomplishing through UCM, and to pray regularly for the wellness of this church. So we want to thank you so much for this opportunity to share with you all today, and hope that you have a good time just listening to all the other ministries going on. And yeah, thank you.
Okay, now, the official start to Mission Sunday, even though we've already had a great testimony so far. We're going to be hearing from more of our missionaries. We have a lot of people that we support as a church. And you'll be hearing from some today, and there'll be some coming up in the weeks to come. I know Betty Ann and Michelle Wong are coming in the future. They're not going to be sharing today, but hey, Michelle, shout out to you. I know she's online there. Do you guys know that we are all on mission? Yeah. Wherever God has you, workplace, neighborhood, school, that's your mission field. Whatever season of life you're in, whether student, stay-at-home mom, professional, retiree, God wants to partner with you on mission. The people that we're hearing from today are doing mission work full-time, and most of them have to raise their own support. As you listen this morning, ask Holy Spirit to speak to you about how you can support them, whether it's financially or perhaps, and even maybe more importantly, through prayer. So be listening as we listen to these testimonies. So the first person I'm going to introduce is Susie Colby, who's not here, but we're going to be seeing a video. She's with InterVarsity. Susie's been a part of our family for a zillion years, her and her family. Her late husband, Steve, was an elder here and very involved. So, take it away, Susie Colby.
Hi, friends. Hi, church. Thank you for your friendship, encouragement, and prayers over this last season. I'm going to try to give you a quick update about what I've been up to, but I'm afraid trying to keep track of my whereabouts has been a little bit like playing Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Since January, I've been to 5 countries and 8 U.S. states, not all for work. After Steve died, I shifted from serving as the Vice President of InterVarsity Canada to serving as a ministry specialist. What's a ministry specialist? Who knows? But I get to do lots of interesting projects to support campus ministry worldwide.
A highlight of the past 6 months was attending the National Forum of the Bulgarian Christian Student Union. I was invited to speak at the conference because I had been part of the fellowship's founding and they were celebrating 30 years of ministry. Back in 1991, Steve and I helped lead the first group of North American students for a cultural exchange. Many of those Bulgarian students continued to meet together even before most of them had become Christians. Those first gatherings became Bulgarian Christian Student Union, part of the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students. These Bulgarian and American former students are in international ministry today. 4 of them, 2 Americans and 2 Bulgarians, are missionaries in Bulgaria. Fun fact. Some student leaders and alumni I met at the forum are children of students from those early years when Steve and I were part of the work. After the forum, I joined my friend Craig, an associate regional director of the IFES in Europe, to train new leaders of national movements. Here we are in Denmark. A little closer to home, I attended the first post-pandemic in-person grad student and faculty ministry conference in Mundelein, Illinois. Here's another fun fact. This place is quite grandiose because during World War II, it was prepared for the Pope should he have to evacuate the Vatican.
Looking ahead, while all these projects are fun and meaningful, I plan to settle into more coherent ministry commitments by the end of this calendar year. I'm considering several roles that I can do from right here where I live in Vancouver, but have a broader scope. I will continue to pursue projects with the InterVarsity Canada, but I long to work on some things that have a longer timeline than the projects I've been working on. I promise to keep you posted as the future unfolds, and I'm always game for coffee or a walk. I live just down the street. Bye for now.
Father God, I thank you for these, your children who you've called to work full-time for you in ministry. Lord, we pray your blessing on them. We pray your protection around them. We pray your leading and guiding and discernment. God, we pray that you would provide for all their needs, not only financially, but all their needs, Lord. Father, we pray that your favor would rest on them and that you would establish the works of their hands, Lord, wherever they go and whatever they do. Thank you for them, and thank you that we get to partner with them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we get to hear from someone in-house. That's very exciting. I would like Breezy to come up.
All right, I'm going to put on a timer so I don't go on for too long. Hello. I am Breezy. I've been part of Redemption Church since 2011. I've been very blessed by this community, and I'm very grateful that now I get to join the many wonderful missionaries that you're sending out and that you'll be my sending church. So in August, I'll be joining Youth with a Mission, or YWAM, in Scotland on the west coast in a little town called Seamill, for a two-year internship and full-time staff position. Youth with a Mission is a global movement of Christians who seek to know God and to make him known. It started in 1960 as a way to get young people involved in missions, and they still do that, but they also have now communities and ministries spread all over the world. And part of YWAM's sort of founding value, sorry, I'm really nervous. I'm happy to be here, but I'm really nervous. okay. So one of their founding values is to hear God's voice and to obey him. So part of their DNA is really to launch people into whatever vision and calling that God has for individuals and communities. So every YWAM community really looks quite diverse and different depending on the calling of the individuals in that community. So YWAM was never really even remotely on my radar until in 2020. I'd been working in social services for many years and felt like I should pray about redirection and sensed God calling me potentially to Christian ministry. And YWAM came up, and quite specifically, I felt God calling me to complete one of their 6 months intensive training schools that they run all over the world. So eventually, I did that last year in Southeast Asia, and it was wonderful. And I do feel like now God is launching me into a new thing, which I had sensed before I went. I felt like he told me that the training would be like a doorway into a really new thing he was doing in my life. But I didn't know I'd be joining YWAM long term. So during the DTS, one of the speakers asked us to discuss our dreams about the future. And so I turned to the person next to me and I said, I don't have any new dreams. I feel like God is doing a completely new thing, and I just can't like even conceptualize where he's taking me. And she shared, and then we turned back. The guy kept talking, and I looked at the wall on the, there was a world map on the wall of the lecture room, and my eyes kind of wandered to Scotland because I was going to be visiting my friends there after the DTS. And I was remembering my first visit to Scotland and looking forward to going, and suddenly I was imagining myself doing ministry in Scotland. And I kid you not, like 30 seconds after I told someone I had no dreams, I suddenly had a dream and like legitimate desire and excitement to do ministry in Scotland. And I felt like I heard God say, praying for the nations in Scotland, that I would be praying for the nations. And that's both specific and pretty vague, so I didn't know what that would look like. But he really confirmed that call to prayer in the coming weeks. So when I returned to Vancouver and I spent some time kind of trying to discern whether I should be looking at Scotland right away or what God was asking me to do, eventually I felt like, yes, I should start researching options. And maybe from where you're sitting, it seems really obvious to look at YWAM, but for many reasons, it wasn't really on the top of my list. So I was doing my research, and I just couldn't find anything that fit my call and what I was looking for. And so eventually, I kind of relented and looked up YWAM Scotland. And I found this community, Seamill, and I was totally astounded. I talked to one of their leaders and hung up the Zoom call and cried for a long time, because their community really lines up with what my heart was desiring, where I feel like God is calling me. So I'll quickly kind of describe what CML is about and how I'll be involved. CML has sort of many different things they focus on, but one of them is prayer and worship. They pray together regularly every week, and they actually have a heart for to expand that within their community, so they were really excited to hear that I feel called to prayer. And even during the interview, they said, if that's how God leads, you'll be able to potentially start something new. So that really excited me. They also have adopted people groups, so they've chosen specific people groups, both in the UK and internationally, that they commit to pray for, to give to, and to serve. So that already checked like the two major boxes, and I suddenly had a very concrete visual of what it might be like to pray for the nations in Scotland by joining their community in doing that. And then they also run training programs like most YWAM locations. They do training schools. So I'll get to potentially mentor and support some of the students coming through those schools. And that part is special because I feel like one of the passions, I guess, of my vocational life has always been to equip and resource people. So I used to do that kind of in the social work realm. But now I get to do it in this different context. And then finally, the cherry on top is that they really value restoration. So they run retreats for workers who work with the unreached to just refresh and be encouraged. And they also have a wild camping ministry, take out groups into the beautiful highlands to be refreshed and meet God in creation. And if you know me, you know I love creation. I love just spiritual and emotional health, being connected, and the fact that also creation is a part of that. So anyway, that just felt like an extra gift that this community kind of fits who I am as a person as well. So I'll be going, and obviously I'll be focusing on the praying piece and kind of joining what they're already doing and seeing how God leads. And then they're very flexible because it's also an internship, that I can kind of just see where I fit and where God calls me as I go, and get to know them and what they do as a community. So I'm not sure exactly which ministries I'll end up joining, but I'm really glad that I get to kind of walk that out with them and with God after I go. So that's what I'll be doing. I have a little sign-up sheet in case you'd like to be getting newsletter updates. And it is a fundraised position, so I have to fully fundraise my salary. And yeah, I just ask that as you're praying, like Monica said, about the people sharing today in the coming weeks, that you put me on that list and see if God is asking you to join in prayer or financially. And if not, that's totally fine. If all you want is the news, the newsletters, that is super encouraging for me too, just to remain connected to this community. So I'll pass it around now, and maybe I'll keep it out in the lobby for another Sunday. Yeah, that's it.
Thanks, Breezy. We're going to pray for Breezy afterwards as well. Sounds good? All right. That kind of brings us to the close a little bit of the formal service. But don't go anywhere. I'm going to give you the benediction now, and then I'll have a few things to say afterwards.